found a book called The Permaculture Way by Graham Bell. You have to manage your garden differently when you're not using weed killers. Through following this step-by-step design process, at the end of it, there is now a permaculture research handbook.
Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast. My name is Cormac Harkin and I am delighted to welcome Pippa Chapman on the show today. Welcome, Pippa.
Hi, nice to be here.
Could you give us a wee quick introduction, please?
Hi, my name is Pippa Chapman and my day job is forest gardening and doing organic gardening and teaching permaculture and now a bit of writing as well, which is exciting.
Well, that's great. It's a good variety for us to chat about.
Yeah, definitely.
So basically, this podcast, we try and cover careers, education, business, and permaculture. And then we always ask, so what did you do at the start? How did you discover permaculture?
Interestingly, I was on a traineeship with the Royal Horticultural Society in the north of England. And I was particularly wanting to learn about sustainable gardening. So I've always been interested in sort of the environment and sustainable practices in general, sustainable living. And so I was just in the bookshop having a look around and found a book called The Permaculture Way by Graham Bell and just started reading that. And that was it, really. I was hooked. I wanted to find out more.
And how, so you were a gardener, a traditional gardener.
I had a bit of a funny route really to becoming a trainee in that I started as a head gardener. So I got a job as just a general gardener. I'd had a bit of a very early career change, having done a degree in fine art and very quickly realizing that that wasn't what I wanted to do. So I decided to go into gardening. So just to get some experience, I got a job at a large private estate near where my parents were living at the time. And I'd been there a couple of years, maybe, very still quite inexperienced, but very keen and interested. And they offered me the job of head gardener, which was fantastic. You know, I'd only been a gardener for 2 years and I got this job as head gardener. But very quickly, I realized that actually there was still so much that I wanted to learn. And they had, in particular, you know, they wanted the perfect bowling green lawns with no weeds in. And they wanted the, you know, they were quite happy to use weed killers and, you know, whatever it took to make it look pristine, or their idea of pristine. And that really went against everything that I believed in. So even though it seemed like the dream job, head gardener, my own lovely cottage in an idyllic village, it just didn't quite feel right. I felt like I had so much to learn. And at that time, being head gardener, I was now the most experienced person in the garden. So there wasn't anyone else to ask. And this was the days before smartphones as well. So it wasn't like I could just look stuff up every time. I wasn't sure what I was doing. So I used to go in with my thick Royal Horticulture Society Bible of Gardening. And every time that I had to do a task like prune a rose, I would look it up in this book and then give it a go. And so then I went from that to this traineeship at Harlow Carr because, I had such a thirst for knowledge. And that was, I thought, the best way to learn was to do something that's hands-on. And at the time, RHS Harlow Carr was wanting to have a more sort of sustainable organic approach to gardening, more so than the other RHS gardens. And luckily it just happened to be one that I lived nearby. So I signed up for the year-long traineeship there where I worked in all different areas of the garden, from the nursery to the woodland, the alpine house, the borders, the vegetable garden. So I got a really good range of experiences throughout that year.
So what was the big differences you noticed? You mentioned weed killer there. What was the sort of biggest difference making that transition?
I think it's just that you have to manage your garden differently when you're not using weed killers, when you're not using selective weed killers in a lawn. You know, then you just accept and actually embrace the weeds that come in. You know, clover's really great because it fixes nitrogen, so it can you know, make your lawn look really green and lush. And yeah, if you're lucky, you've got some flowers in there as well. Then you might add in things like, you know, self-heal and plantains and things, you know, all plants which have some fantastic uses. And if you, you know, follow No Mow May, or you just leave your lawn to grow a bit longer, sort of, you know, for certain months of the year, then you can turn your lawn into this amazing source of pollen and nectar for insects. So I think that it's a big switch in terms of, yes, everything can be a bit slower to do. So there's a garden I work in where I hand weed the block paving, which takes forever. But actually, you know, they're really committed to sustainable and ecological way of gardening. So they're happy for that to happen. And so I think it's just a shift in attitude, really, learning about how to garden more naturally, how to garden more in tune with nature is also just about letting go of these weird concepts we have of, like, the best lawn ever is one that is as far from natural as possible. You know, it's these sort of weird ways of thinking that we've developed over time in gardening. And I think definitely there's a big shift away from that now. And actually people seek me out now because they're actually asking, how can I get more flowers into my lawn? How can I make them more diverse? So yeah, it's been like a big journey, but great that now people are embracing that.
Yeah, I let my front lawn grow a bit too much this year, but it worked out well because we'd like 5 or 6 weeks of hot weather. And yeah, that heat wave we had, and it actually kept the surface of the soil very cool. Having that extra grass made a huge difference. And that's why I didn't have any bother with anything growing. The raspberries done well. My fruit trees done all well, and that's because the lawn was about 1.5 feet tall.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's always a great approach. Whenever there's some hot, dry weather coming, I always say to people, actually, I'm going to stop mowing for a bit because that's the best thing for your lawn and for your garden. So, you know, I think it's a good balance, isn't it?
Yeah. So after the course, the one, it was a year training then with the, and then what did you do after that?
So after that, I wasn't quite sure what direction to go in. And I actually met my now husband when I was a trainee at Harlow Carr. And so we decided quite quickly that we wanted to set up our own business. You know, we both had got, you know, some experience in gardening. We knew that we particularly wanted to go down a more permaculture and organic route of gardening. And so we decided to set up a business. And at first it wasn't just gardening. We did forage jams and jellies. So we would do things like slow gin drizzling sauce and japonica and pear jam and, you know, all sorts of unusual jams and jellies that we would sell alongside plants on a farmer's market. We both really love propagating, so we decided to set up a nursery. So we did a bit of that, some garden consultations and a bit of garden maintenance. And then sort of over time, the business has evolved as, you know, as the children got older. So it gave us a bit more time and a bit more flexibility. And then we, you know, a bit like with any business, really, it's great if you can be flexible. And so as one thing seems to be doing really well, you can move in that direction. And then it might be there's a part of the business that you're really not enjoying. So you can sort of try and phase that out while bringing in new sides to the business. So we've always tried to keep it quite diverse, you know, so it's still enjoyable. I get bored quite easily, so it's great to have something different going on all the time. And initially, I really tried to steer away from garden design, even though that would fit really well with my arts background. What I really love is having a relationship with a garden. So like when I was head gardener, you know, I was in that garden every day, developing it, seeing all the changes through the seasons. You get to know individual plants and shrubs and trees really well, you know, in such detail, and you form this real relationship with the garden. So because you're there gardening it, you're sort of becoming part of the garden as well. And that's a really lovely relationship. And the thing with garden design that I had experienced a bit before was that you go in, you see a garden a little bit, And you do a design, and then quite often you never see that again. And that just doesn't really give me lots of joy at the time. It just didn't really seem to fit right. So I tried to kind of steer away from garden design. But over the years, and particularly now that I'm doing much more forest gardens, so pretty much every day I'm either working in or designing or writing about forest gardening. I now actually really love doing garden design. You know, people come to me all the time and say, I'd really love an edible food forest, and I'd like some medicinal plants in, and I'd like it to have habitat for wildlife. And actually, I get real pleasure in putting that all together for somebody, handing over a design for them to then create and then start their own relationship with that garden. And then they become the person who forms that really close relationship. And, and it's always nice when people send me photographs and things of how it looks in the future. But I think I can, now that I have several other gardens that I manage, that I get to have that relationship as well, I feel like it's okay to actually spend some time designing gardens for other people. So, sometimes there's things that you stubbornly refuse to do, and then actually over time you find that you can find ways to work it into your business, into your way of working, that actually you feel happy with.
So my journey's been sort of the opposite, whereas I started doing design straight away.
Okay.
And it was all remote designs, so you're working with somebody else, and now I'm trying to get into the business side of it. And it was sort of inspired this podcast as well. I was like, right, what do you do?
Yeah.
So like you just said, I just started a business with your husband. That's great. <Yes. laughs> But like how did you get through that process of deciding, right, what to focus on? Because for me, there's propagation, there's nursery, and you're looking over here, oh, we could do this, I could do this. How did you sort of come to deciding what you'd actually focus on first?
I think we had a few meetings where we sat down in a nice cafe, and we just would sort of brainstorm and say, okay, what things do we enjoy doing? How would we be able to make those make money? So yes, we love propagating, and we had plenty of space at the time. So it just made sense to start a plant nursery because we had those skills and we had the facilities. So it just seemed like a natural thing to do. But we also loved preserving and foraging. And so we sort of tried to take all the things that we enjoyed doing already and working out how to make those into an income, something that could bring in money. And I think over time there's just been, people would ring up and say, oh, I want to do the garden myself, but actually, it'd be really great to benefit from your knowledge and your advice. So we thought, well, okay, we'll set up some garden consultations. I don't want to, at the time it was partly out of me saying, oh, I'm not going to come and design your garden because that's not what I want to do, but I'll come and give you some advice, and so that's how the garden consultation side of things came about, really, was through me trying to find a way that I could avoid doing garden design but I could still give my advice. So I think at the very beginning it was just a case of let's just try and see, we just see what happens. And even though we love doing the preserves and we love foraging, once the kids got to sort of, we had two under 2 years, and trying to run a market stall with, one who, is just really high maintenance. The other one's now walking and so won't just sit still all day. They're wanting to be off all over the place and farmers markets, it's a long day when you're there all day. So that we ended up phasing that side of things out, really, because they just, as we changed as a family, as our needs changed, the business has changed as well. So it sort of seems like a very natural process. And I think through using the permaculture design process, I think when I did my diploma in permaculture, I just really explored the design process a lot. I looked very much at how I could use it for all sorts of things other than gardening. And I used it to help design our business at the time. And so we keep going through every year. We will sit down. I mean, we do it almost on a daily basis, as things are going well or not. But every year we make a point, in January of sitting down and saying, you know, what's going well, what's not going well, you know, what are our long-term visions and goals, and then what are our next steps now to make those happen. And we've done that every year, so every year things will change slightly.
That's good. You're adjusting it with your lives and making it work, which I'm sure keeps the stress levels lower.
Yes.
you done the diploma?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about the diploma. I've just registered on that diploma.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I love the diploma. And I actually did mine in 2 years. And I know that many people take, you know, 2 decades to do their diploma. And in many respects, looking back now, I wish that I had taken longer, because it was such a fantastic time of like really in-depth learning about permaculture, about how to, you know, apply the principles, about how to use the design process. And I had this great like group of other apprentices that we would get together and talk really in depth about what we were doing and our design work. But I think at the time I was so focused on being a diploma tutor that I just thought, oh, I just want to get through my diploma, so then I've got it and then I can be a tutor. And so I did end up rushing through it a little bit in the end. So my advice to you would be enjoy it and take your time. But yeah, I think it's when I did my permaculture design course, you know, I'd really been following permaculture principles and ethics my whole life, really. You know, it's just like somebody writing it all down and going, oh yeah, this is how to formalize what you're already doing, and you know, using some of the principles for like deeper thought and reflection on choices that you make. But I think for me, going through the diploma, like took that one step further. So I was putting things into practice, and that helped things to sink in a bit more. And so for me, it was sort of really thinking about observing and interacting. So, you know, just whether it's in my garden, I'm observing how the garden's growing, and then I'm tweaking it and I'm changing it. Or like I say, with the business, because I did my diploma quite early on in our business. So from quite near the beginning, you know, it was really important for us to be observing how things were going and changing things depending on, you know, what was going well in the business or what our needs were as a family. And I think following the steps of a design process, like actually formally going through, okay, let's survey, you know, where we are with the business, what bits of the business are, you know, bringing in the most income, what bits are sort of bringing in some income but are actually, you know, really time consuming and really stressful. And so doing a really big survey of all of that and our needs as a family, and then going analyzing all that, and then kind of doing another redesign for the business, and then in a way, you know, maintaining it, so making sure that it keeps going, it keeps working, but at the same time observing it and making changes every year.
So was that an intuitive thing that you had, or was that you did that as part of your diploma?
No, I did that as part of my diploma. So I did a right livelihood design. So it was all about making ethical choices, but also actually successfully earning a living. You know, not necessarily a huge income, but I wanted us to be able to have a viable business, but without compromising our ethics and our principles of how we wanted to live, and you know, just making sure that we didn't have any negative effects on either the community or the planet or our family. So I actually intentionally did a design which was all about our business and our income. I think partly because I'd come from a background of horticulture, so when I did my diploma, I didn't want to have 10 land-based designs because I felt like I already had a lot of those skills. So I wanted to actually explore some other areas. So I did do 3 of my designs were land-based, but the rest were I did a design around the permaculture research handbook, which was really enjoyable. So I don't know anything about research, and I'd really wanted to undertake some research, but I didn't know how to do it. So I was having a chat with a friend, and they said, well, why don't you design what you want from a research handbook? And then as part of that design, find some people who know about research to actually write it, which was a really interesting process. So so that was something that I didn't know anything about at all. I didn't know anything about writing, and I didn't know anything about research. But I managed to, through following this step-by-step design process, at the end of it, there is now a permaculture research handbook, which I think is still on the Permaculture Association website. I'll have to double check. And so, you know, I didn't write the handbook. I designed what I wanted from it. I designed the chapter headings and the layout. And then I recruited people to write each section, depending on their skills and knowledge. And then I had some help to edit it all together and to create the research handbook. So for me, I think that one design just showed me how, if you follow the design process and using all of the principles as well to help you along the way, that you can design something, even something that you know absolutely nothing about.
Yeah, I think that's great. For me, it's good that the framework's here, and that, for me, that's what I need at the minute, is just a framework. How do you go forward? And how do you learn about this stuff in business? It's great chatting to people and finding out what they do, but actually, how do you get that sort of formalized that you're actually sitting down? Because I tend to just plow ahead and do stuff.
Yeah, well, I think that's quite common, really, isn't it? Like, when we think of design, like, lots of people sit down to design a garden, and straight away they're trying to like create a finished design. And it's like, there's so many questions, you know, so many unknowns. How do you even get started without having done all of the other bits? So now I always think that the survey and the analysis section, once you've done those really in depth, before you've even thought about what the end result might be, by the time you get to the design section, it's almost designed itself already because of all the steps that you've gone through already. In the survey and analysis phase, that your design is sort of almost come together already. And so by the time you're actually drawing it, you're just drawing up what's already in your head, if that makes sense. I know until you've sort of gone through the process yourself, it's a bit hard to explain.
I agree, because you get the answers back.
Yeah.
And the pieces are all there. And to be at that stage, that's the end piece. You're putting it on paper.
Absolutely.
For me, it's on the computer, but
yeah. Yeah, I'm very much one for I find that computers just are not for me. I don't know why. They've just never really, I feel like as soon as I sit down with my laptop, it just sort of kills off all my creative energy that I had going on. So now I'm very much kind of like I like pencil sketching. I've just been learning about watercolors the last couple of years, and even like just really enjoy a bit of collage at the moment. So I'm finding that really great. But, you know, I think it's really, I love the diversity of permaculture design, that, you know, you can do something like really skillful on a, you know, computer and make this amazing image, or you can do a design that's like cutting and sticking, and they're both fine.
Yeah, I had to not sketch as in color, like an artistic sketch.
Yeah,
but a lot of stuff goes on paper first and sketch and gets scored out, and then thinking, and then by the time I come to putting on the computer, it's just sort of translating what's on the page.
Yeah.
But that's a good chance to mention our PDC the professional course that we've just launched.
Oh right, fantastic!
So it's basically teaching people from PDC how to do digital design.
Oh wow.
In Affinity 2. So it'll get you from extracting your information from Google, getting your base map, and then just doing your drawing, adding your structures, layers. Up to professional level standard. Basically, you have to pass our standards before you'll get your certificate. But that's if you look in the description.
Yeah, that sounds really useful actually, because so many people say to me that is a big gap in their skills is the actual sort of mapping and designing stage. So yeah, I can see how that would be.
And
really
and you
useful.
Do you do get one-to-one feedback, so it'll basically be the experience of a freelancer. Yeah. So you'll pick your property, we'll give you the lessons how to do it, then you'll submit it, and then we'll give you feedback, and then you can have a chance to improve it. And then it's just like submitting a professional designer if you're a freelancer.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's what we're basically the experience that we went through.
Yes.
The last couple of years in learning digital design. And there's also a section on Mike. He's with us. He has a plant database, Gilda. So depending on what zone you're in, you select your zone and say you want an apple tree guild, it'll suggest a list then of like guilds based on whatever you want, pollinators, bioaccumulators. So it's basically a guild builder.
Yeah, brilliant.
So you get a year subscription to that as well. And also then stuff like surveys and all our stuff as well. Business careers, that's the run, website, things like that. Sorry, I couldn't resist the opportunity.
No, already. That sounds great. Yeah, great resource, sounds like. Yeah, definitely.
So we're hoping to help people out with that. So I skipped your PDC. Yes, do you want to tell us about how you've done your PDC?
Well, it feels like a bit of a blur, really. I think because I had found out about permaculture and I really wanted to learn more. And so I looked around for PDCs. But at the time, I was just pregnant with my first daughter. And so I was looking for one that had to finish before my due date. So I was a bit limited, really. I'd have loved to go on a 2-week residential PDC, you know, somewhere beautiful. But that just wasn't going to work for me. So I actually ended up doing mine at the University of Bradford, and it was run as a sort of trial as part of their peace studies course. And so it was a really amazing learning experience. But I think it finished just 4 weeks before I gave birth. So I think sort of my brain had just, it would not take in all the information. So I still have all the notes that I wrote, you know, took copious notes. But I think it was just, you know, it felt at the time like there was just so much to learn. You know, you're learning a little snippet about, you know, economics and permaculture, and a little snippet about your self-care and your zone 00 design, and you're learning a little bit about energy. And so I just felt like it was just this mind-blowing experience of learning all these little bits about such a massive range of topics, that was partly why I then just decided to go straight into the diploma, because I thought there's still so much that I don't know and still so much that I want to know. So for me, it was very much like a starting block for then going on and learning a lot more. And what's really great is there's so many different PDCs. So now it's nice because I get to teach on permaculture design courses. And, you know, I've taught on ones which are very land-based. So, you know, it's very much about you know, base mapping and learning about ecology and the plants. And then there's other ones which have been much more sort of community focused. So it throughout the permaculture design course, it's about people forming in their local community and having a real effect, you know, direct effect on the place where they live. And there's one I taught on recently, which was for creatives and artists. So it was looking very much at, you know, how to use permaculture in a really creative way in your art practice or in the way that you live your life. So, you know, even just the permaculture design course can be so different, you know, in so many different ways to apply permaculture and to learn about permaculture. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend, even if you don't want to go on and do a diploma, to have a look at a permaculture design course.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it myself. As you say, it's you get the snapshot, and then you could spend many lifetimes trying to learn everything.
It's a bit like gardening, really. That's the same. You keep getting, you know, even now after 15 plus years, you know, I just I keep learning about new things that I just really want to go and learn more about. Just recently, I've been really interested in medicinal plants. So I've grown herbs for years and years, but I've never really used them other than the odd herbal tea and things like that. So I'm now, you know, really interested in learning about the medicinal properties of lots of plants. So yeah, it's the same with permaculture. You know, you find other little niches that you've not heard of before and you think, oh yeah, I'd like to go and learn a bit more about that.
Man, 6 months later, you come out of the rabbit hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you get into teaching?
I actually wanted initially, when I did my degree in fine art, I really wanted to be an art teacher. You know, that was my aim. And unfortunately, I didn't get on the teacher training course. I had a bit of a disagreement with the person interviewing me about what it was to be an art teacher. And so I think it just naturally, I just love sharing knowledge and enthusiasm. So once I felt like I knew enough about a subject to actually teach it, you know, it's just felt like a natural progression. I think I have been, I started my diploma tutor training and I still haven't quite finished it because, you know, there's just so many different opportunities come along. And I just, you know, sometimes you have to decide, like I said before, you know, there was a point where I was really determined I was going to be a diploma tutor and that was part of our business plan. And then when we had our meeting to sort of discuss what's going well, what's not going well, at the time, it just felt like we were just so diversified. It was really hard to keep, or, you know, keep everything going well. And I felt like I was doing lots of things badly instead of a few things well. And at the time, I just decided that that was going to be the one, you know, one of the things that dropped off the list of things to concentrate on. And so even though I still haven't quite got to the point where I want to pick up with that training, I thought actually now it feels like a really good time to start teaching a permaculture design course. Partly because I've been teaching a bit on other people's courses and now it just feels like a really good time. I've got getting together with some friends and we're going to run one locally in the town where I live, partly because I would really like to find ways to have a positive effect on our local town, how to help it become more sustainable, you know, in a kind of transition towns way, help the town. And part of that is, I feel, by teaching people about permaculture, you know, and if you're teaching people in the community about permaculture, then hopefully that there will be an offshoot of other people starting to live their lives differently and maybe even starting other permaculture businesses in the local area, you know, and I'm hoping that that will be a kind of positive spiral effect of more and more things happening.
That sounds exciting. So for anyone wanting to start to teach a PDC, the way it sounds like you have to get the 72-hour, you have to get basically 2 weeks content.
Yes.
So have you started creating that or?
Are just at that point. So we've gone through, you have to have a certified educator. So you have to have somebody who's the lead person on the team who fit certain criteria, and don't ask me to list them because I can't remember, but you know, you have to have enough training in teaching or enough experience of teaching so to show that you know you are going to be delivering a quality course, and then we are now at the point of putting together our curriculum. So there's, you know, there's a core curriculum that every PDC has to cover. Some bits are optional, so some bits you know there's a massive long list and you have to, you know, at least include a certain number of things out of that list for each topic, but it's quite, in some ways it's really exciting, and I'm excited about that I will be learning new stuff as well alongside some of the other people who will be teaching sessions as well, but it's about having to find a way to teach the curriculum but in a way that's engaging and a way that's interesting as well. You know, I'm not an expert on economics, but I've, you know, designed and run a permaculture business, so you know, rather than standing up and trying to give a talk on, you know, green economies that I know nothing about, it means that it's sort of flexible enough that you can talk about some things in a general way, and then I can share my experience of permaculture business, you know. So I think it's really great to have that core curriculum, because then you know that every permaculture design course is going to cover all the essentials, but there is flexibility within that to put together your lesson plans so that they are informative but engaging, and you can run it in a way that suits you know, how you know, your experiences as well. So yeah, so we are just at the point of, in fact, I think it's next week, I'm actually starting to decide what we're going to teach and how we're going to teach it, and how we're going to divide it up really between us, who's going to do what subjects, and start to put together that plan. So yeah, so we need to have a lesson plan, and then we need to think about, you know, how are we going to teach it. I think we know already it's not going to be a 2-week residential block. You know, we want to do maybe some sessions at weekends, some in evenings. You know, we want it to be in person rather than online, but then it's really important for it to be accessible as well for people. So yeah, so we're still very much in the designing phase.
Yeah, no, it's always tricky. From interviewing people on the show, we've had all sorts of different ones. The 2-week residential, mine was online 100%.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Other ones are like one Saturday or one weekend every 4 weeks or something. It's good that there's that variety out there. For me, a 2-week residential just wasn't happening with my kids.
No, I was just, the same.
It's just not happening. And then, so the online one gave me the opportunity to actually get studying and get moving. So that was good for me. And there was delivered in Ireland, and it's like every other Saturday or something. So so it's good that there's different options for different people, as you say, making it accessible for everyone.
Yeah.
And well, like, so how did you get the writing bit then? You say you're a writer now as well.
I've never thought of myself as a writer or as being particularly good at writing. But I just had this really strong sense that I wanted to share my experiences. I do a lot of talks for gardening groups, and I go and chat to other gardeners all the time. And I think I wrote a couple of magazine articles because people said, oh, you should really share what you do. You know, you people would be interested. So I wrote a couple of magazine articles, and I actually really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that process of sharing, of, you know, people really want to learn through hearing about other people's experiences. You know, you don't want to just read a book that says, you know, this plant, plant it this far apart from another plant, and, you know, it grows this tall and it flowers this color. You know, people want to read about, oh, well, I tried to grow this here, but slugs ate it. And, you know, then I realized that the trees were sucking all the water out of the ground and it just died. And so I tried it. So, you know, people want to, I think, learn more through, or find it more interesting to learn through hearing about experiences. So I then eventually decided that maybe I was feeling brave enough to write a whole book. And so I was chatting with Maddie, who is the, you know, the publisher for Permanent Publications, who do the Permaculture magazine. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's really a fantastic resource full of all sorts of varied stories from around the world of people doing all sorts of amazing permaculture projects. And there's all sorts of stuff in there. So I was chatting with her about it, and you know, she really encouraged me to just try and put something down on paper and then send it to her, and, you know, then she would let me know if it was any good or whether I should write the rest of the book. And so, yeah, so I just gave it a go. And I think because I'd had that experience in my diploma of designing the research handbook, so I took the same approach, really. I thought, well, before I write any content at all. I'm going to design my chapters. I'm going to put subheadings within headings. And so I had this really clear structure, clear list of everything that I was going to write about before I actually wrote anything. So I didn't have that fear of sort of sitting down and thinking, oh God, what am I going to write? You know, a bit like when your mind just goes completely blank, because I would sit down and I would think, right, now I'm going to write this chapter about the soil food web. And so then I would sit down and I could be really focused and I could write that section. So I think I just was determined that I was going to do it. And I thought it would be really hard work, and it was, but I think I just enjoyed it so much. I hadn't expected to really enjoy it as much as I did. I think it felt almost like it wrote itself, because when I sat down to write it, most of it just sort of came quite easily. You know, I'd just sit down with my laptop and start typing, and before I knew it, you know, I'd done another 1,000 words. So it was just felt like a really, you know, an enjoyable process. And as I said, a bit like with everything I do, a lot of the sort of constant observation phase is, am I actually enjoying this? And so I really enjoyed it. And people have given me some really great feedback, which is brilliant. I think I tried to make forest gardening really accessible. I know there's some amazing forest gardening books out there. And some of them can be quite technical and maybe feel irrelevant to the average gardener at home. You know, if you don't have a spare acre, how can you actually make this work in an average size garden? So I really wanted, particularly because where I had a forest garden at my previous home, I did have, you know, a wild acre of forest garden, and that was fantastic. But particularly with having small kids and a busy business, most of the forest gardening that I did was in my small yard in a few, you know, quite small beds. So I wanted to share that experience of saying to people, you don't have to go out and buy an acre of land to be able to do forest gardening. Just start where you are, start in your own backyard. You know, just even if it's a small raised bed, you can do forest gardening. And also I think because of my background in garden design and my background in art, I just wanted it to look really good as well, and to say it's fine if you want to put flowers in your garden just because you love flowers. That's fine. They don't have to be edible. You know, they don't have to have a use. Actually, just giving you joy is enough of a yield to mean that can go in your forest garden.
Yeah, I think that's great. Just sometimes people get so focused on, I have to have all this stuff. But it says... You said just let it go, stick some flowers in, brings you joy. I think that's great. So advice, finally. So you've done a lot, from the business, the diploma, the PDC, the book, now you're teaching. And advice for someone who's just starting out, who's just got their PDC and is going, what do I do?
Well, I think, you know, I would always say go and do the diploma, because for me, it was a fantastic experience. But, you know, not everyone likes doing that kind of formal learning, even though I would say the diploma is fairly informal way of learning. I think, you know, that's not for everyone, and that's fine. So I think if there's certain areas that you're really interested in, you know, go and try and find other people who are interested in the same thing, and form a group and meet up and chat about it and go away and learn a bit more and then come back and have another discussion about it. You know, there's so many resources online. You know, I learn how to do just about everything on YouTube, from, you know, repointing the outside of my house to, you know, putting insulation in the loft to crochet, you know. So I would say just, you know, try and just learn and try and get some experiences, all sorts of permaculture projects all over the world, you know, globally. Try and, you know, find out if there's one near you, if you can go along and visit or volunteer. I think there's just so much going on now, so much more than there used to be. I think that, you know, the best thing is just to go and ask questions and meet people and chat about it. I'm actually just about to go to the Festival of Permaculture, which is next weekend down in Essex. So, you know, if you can find any events going on near you, that's always fantastic. I've just been to the Welsh permaculture gathering a couple of weeks ago, and they're just, you know, gatherings of any kind are just a fantastic place to go and listen to people give talks about their projects and what they've learned, and to have discussions with people over a cup of tea who've never met before, you know, about what do they know about permaculture and what their background is. You know, I think just go and talk to people and see as much as you can. And as I say, you know, read books, watch films, get the permaculture magazine. You know, there's all sorts of resources out there now, I think, that you can learn from, just depending on how much time or energy or your preferred way of learning.
That's great advice, Pippa. That's us. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you coming on and chatting this. That's a lot of information there for people, and I think it's a lot of value for people starting out as well. So you could give us a like, if you could give us a thumbs up and a subscribe, please. That would be great. And if you have any questions, well, write them in the comments. That would be great. Again, I mentioned our PDCD professional course. It's registration's open now on our new. We have a, because we made a course, we hosted on our own website, so we're actually opening that website out for other people as well if they want to sell their course on our. So we're making it just permaculture courses only. So if anybody wants to sell their course on our site as well, just let us, give us a shout, and we can sort that out. Pippa, again, thank you very much, and we'll chat these all next week. Thanks.
Great. Thanks a lot. Bye.